content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from The Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger Personal Finance, Centennial Money Magazine, and Money.com. From Kiplinger Personal Finance, how to shop for a low mortgage rate. Rates are higher this year, but you can still find an affordable loan. Good news, house hunters. Home prices have started to cool. Prices are still rising, but annual home price appreciation slowed from April to June, with June marking the strongest single month deceleration in home price growth ever, according to Black Knight, a mortgage data analytics firm. The bad news? Rising mortgage rates are making home ownership less obtainable for some buyers. Although mortgage rates have been in a state of flux this year, the 30-year fixed rate average ballooned from 3.2% in January to 5.3% at the end of July, according to Freddie Mac. Consequently, the national median mortgage payment hit $1,893 in June, a $509 increase since the beginning of the year, says the Mortgage Bankers Association. Inflation, geopolitical tensions, and fears of a recession are stoking higher mortgage rates, says Odeda Kushal, Deputy Chief Economist at First American Financial Corporation, a title settlement and risk solutions provider based in Santa Ana, California. The Federal Reserve has been reducing its balance sheet and raising its benchmark rate in an effort to tame inflation, she says. That has resulted in higher 10-year Treasury yields, which has resulted in higher mortgage rates. Those rising mortgage rates are pushing some buyers out of the market and leading some others to back out of deals. Approximately 60,000 home purchase agreements nationwide fell through in June, Redfin data found. The brokerage also released a study in June that found a home buyer on a $2,500 monthly housing budget had lost nearly $120,000 in home purchase power since the end of 2022. First-time home buyers are bearing the brunt of climbing mortgage rates. It's getting very difficult for first-time buyers to enter the market, largely because they don't have money that existing homeowners get from the sale of their current home to fund the next home purchase. Cardinal Financial, a national mortgage lender headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona, agrees that it's a challenging market for first-time buyers. We're seeing some buyers pull out of the market because they can no longer afford a home loan. I'm also seeing a rise in the number of people who are getting cosigners and seeing a lot of buyers lowering their price range. There's also a large swath of buyers who are reassessing whether now is the time for them to purchase a home. A lot of buyers have moved onto the sidelines and are taking a wait-and-see approach because of mortgage rate increases, says Bill Gassett, a real estate agent with REMAX in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. How to nab a low rate? Looking to purchase a home in this market? Take these steps to qualify for the best mortgage rates. Increase your down payment. To qualify for the lowest rates on a conventional loan backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, the nation's two largest mortgage buyers, you'll need a 20% down payment, says Melissa Kahn, a regional vice president at William Ravis Mortgage, a national lender headquartered in Shelton, Connecticut. The bigger your down payment, the better the rate, Khan says. Need a little help piecing together a bigger down payment? Dibugnera recommends looking into national and local down payment assistance programs. You can research eligibility requirements for thousands of down payment assistance programs at downpaymentresource.com. Raise your credit score. Generally, consumers need a FICO score of 760 or higher to be eligible for the lowest mortgage rates on a conforming loan, says credit expert and author John Altshuler, author of the Smart Consumer's Guide to Good Credit. A conforming loan is a loan that follows guidelines set by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Currently, the conforming loan limit in most areas of the country is $647,200. You may be able to get a free credit score estimate through your bank or credit card issuer or from a website such as Credit Sesame or Credit Karma, or use MyFICO's credit score estimator tool. If your credit score needs a boost, there are steps you can take to give it a quick lift. However, your best strategy will depend on why your score is lagging. Paying down some of your credit card debts can yield a higher FICO score in as little as 2 weeks, says Altshuler, pointing out that your credit utilization ratio, which is the amount you owe on your credit cards divided by your credit card limits, makes up 30% of your FICO score. A good rule of thumb, keep your credit utilization ratio below 30%. It is also a good idea to check your credit reports for errors. With identity theft at an all-time high, make sure all the information on the report actually belongs to you, says Altshuler. Someone could have opened a credit card in your name and run up a significant amount of debt. Until the end of this year, you can get a free credit report weekly from Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, the three major credit reporting agencies, at annualcreditreport.com. If you spot an error, alert each agency immediately. Shop around. Nearly half of consumers get only a single quote when applying for a mortgage, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reports. But you're more likely to find a lower rate if you shop around. According to a study by Freddie Mac in 2018, borrowers who obtained two rate quotes saved an average of $1,500 over the life of their mortgage, and those who obtained five quotes saved an average of about $3,000. Get quotes from at least three lenders. Local lenders and credit unions tend to offer lower mortgage rates than big banks. You can also shop at online lenders such as Rocket Mortgage. Because underwriting requirements can vary, you may get a different quote from each lender you speak to, Kashai says. Or you can consider an adjustable rate mortgage. ARMs, short for adjustable rate mortgages, developed a bad reputation after the housing market crashed in 2008 because so many unqualified borrowers couldn't keep up with their ARM payment increases. But today's ARMs have more protections built in than their pre-2008 ARMs and can be a good option for some buyers. An adjustable rate mortgage starts out at a lower interest rate than you would get with a fixed-rate mortgage. Then, after a specified period of time, usually 3, 5, 7, or 10 years, the rate adjusts back on market indices, though there are caps on how high interest rates on ARMs can go. In late July, the average introductory rate for a 5-year ARM was 4.31%, compared with an average of 5.54% for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. I like adjustable-rate mortgages when borrowers understand them, Dabugnera says. If you have an exit strategy, an ARM can be a great product. For example, if you know that you're going to sell your home in the next 4 years, getting a 5-year ARM can save you thousands of dollars in interest. According to a Redfin report published in May, the typical home buyer would save an average of $15,582 over 5 years, or about $260 per month, by taking out a 5-year ARM rather than a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. According to the Mortgage Bankers Association, ARM applications represented 10% of all mortgage applications in the week ending May 20th, the highest share since 2008. Our next article, appearing in the Wall Street Journal, rising housing costs drive up inflation. Rents and other shelter costs are emerging as a major driver of overall consumer inflation, keeping it high at a time when many other sources are starting to ease. Economists expect housing inflation to strengthen further before cooling off in the coming months, but are unsure when relief will appear. This creates another challenge for the Federal Reserve as it raises interest rates to reduce price pressures. Overall annual inflation eased to 8.3% in August from 8.5% in July, according to the Labor Department's Consumer Price Index. That reflected declines from the month before in prices for items such as gasoline, airfares, and used cars, and slower price increases in other categories such as groceries. Housing was an outlier. Not only are shelter costs rising, they are climbing at an accelerated pace, accounting for a growing share of the overall inflation rate, about 25% of August rate, up from about 20% in February. Shelter costs mostly, rents, and a gauge of home prices known as owner's equity rent, rose 0.7% in August from the previous month, up from 0.5% in July. They rose 6.2% in August from a year before, up from 5.7% in July. The price of housing was always going to be a persistent boost to inflation this year, says Omar Sharif, head of the advisory firm Inflation Insights LLC. It has absolutely ticked up over the last 3 months, and it is offsetting declines in things like airfares and hotel rates. Fed officials have raised interest rates this year at the fastest clip in decades to combat inflation, which hit a 40-year high in June. They are widely expected to lift rates by 0.75 percentage points after their two-day policy meeting concluding this past Wednesday. That would be the third consecutive increase of that size. Rising housing costs also increase the chances that the Fed will raise interest rates by 0.75 percentage points again at its November policy meeting, economists at Barclays wrote in a report for clients. Economists and firms tracking private data expect housing inflation in the CPI to cool eventually because the rent increases they see in new leases appear to be slowing. That should show up in the CPI with a lag because of the way it is constructed, they say. Most of the time, most renters pay the same price every month, while those who renew their lease or sign new ones are more likely to see an increase. Private firms such as Apartment List Incorporated, which tracks rental prices, record only the rent amounts in new leases. By this method, the median U.S. rent increased 10% in August from the previous year, down from a recent peak of 18% in November of 2021, according to data from Apartment List. The CPI's rent component, in contrast, is estimated based on rents paid across the market, which includes rents raised months ago, home prices surged during the pandemic. But government agencies don't take home prices directly into account when calculating inflation because they consider a home purchase to be a long-term investment rather than a consumer good. Instead, the CPI uses rents to create its estimate of homeowners' housing cost, called owner's equivalent rent, which calculates the imputed rent, or what homeowners would have to pay each month to rent their own house. Because rents rose strongly over the past year, those increases are now feeding into the CPI and other inflation measures. Also from the Wall Street Journal, consumer spending may be better than it looks. The good news is, against economist expectations, the Commerce Department on Thursday reported that Americans boosted their spending substantially in August. The bad news is that July spending figures were revised substantially lower. Retail sales rose 0.3% in August from July, adjusted for seasonal swings but not inflation, versus estimates that they would be unchanged. But sales in July are now figured to have shown a 0.4% decline from June. Previously, they were reported to be flat. And there's more. June sales figures were nudged up. That makes for a confusing picture of how the mix of strong employment, inflation concerns, falling gasoline prices, rising interest rates, and the continuing shift in spending away from pandemic categories towards services is affecting retailers. The drop in gasoline prices since June has been weighing on overall sales, although most retailers would count it as a welcome development. Gasoline station sales fell 4.2% in August from a month earlier, after falling 2.3% in July, according to the Commerce Department data. There is likely even more to come, since pump prices are now below their August averages, with future prices foreshadowing further declines. Excluding gasoline stations, retail sales rose by 0.8% in August. Moreover, for many retailers, the better-than-expected August sales growth and lower July figures net out to be a positive. That is because August is a big month for back-to-school sales, something the Commerce Department seasonally adjustment process accounts for. If July's adjusted figures were stronger and August weaker, it would have amounted to less money coming to retailers over the 2 months. Regardless of such fluctuations, it is clear that many retailers that benefited from stay-at-home spending in the earlier stages of the pandemic are now faring worse. Sales at furniture and home furnishing stores fell for four consecutive months and were 1.6% below their year-earlier level in August. Adjusted for rising prices, that decline is even more pronounced. What is difficult to ascertain is how reduced spending on items such as furniture is affecting sales elsewhere. Although the retail sales report does encompass sales at restaurants and bars, it has nothing to say about other service categories such as travel, dentist visits, and rents. All told, the report accounts for somewhat less than half of consumer spending. For investors, the danger in the confused spending outlook is that it can turn into something like a choose-your-own-adventure book, with one version saying consumers are in retreat, another that they are redeploying resources elsewhere, and so on. In the end, only one version will prove true. And from Money.com, the IRS is sending special refund checks to 1.6 million taxpayers this month. You may receive a surprise in the mail from the IRS this month, but don't worry, it's a good one. The federal agency is sending out $1.2 billion in collective refunds or credits to roughly 1.6 million taxpayers who got hit with fees for filing their 2019 or 2020 federal income tax returns late. The majority of eligible Americans are set to receive those refunds by the end of September. Most people won't have to take any action to receive the money, according to the IRS, unless they still haven't filed for those years. For those in the latter category, there's still time. taxpayers won't be subject to late filing penalties if they file their returns for 2019 and 2020 by September 30th. If you're one of them, be sure to act now to avoid monthly fees. Which can equal as much as 25% of your unpaid tax bill. How to get a late filing penalty refund from the IRS. The IRS is automatically clearing penalties associated with late filing in the early years of the pandemic, following concerns we've heard from taxpayers, the tax community, and others, including Congress. IRS Commissioner Chuck Rettig said in a news release last month. This is another step to help taxpayers, and we encourage those affected by this review to review the guidelines, he added. If you already filed and were billed for a late filing penalty for 2019 and 20, or both, but haven't paid, the fee will be removed from your account. Taxpayers who have already paid the fine are entitled to a refund, which should be issued via paper check, according to the Taxpayer Advocate Service. Folks with other federal debts will have their refunds applied to those debts first before receiving any remaining funds. The penalty relief comes amid a major backlog of tax returns that the IRS is struggling to work through. The agency said it has 7.2 million unprocessed individual tax returns this year as of September the 9th, which includes documents for the 2021 tax year as well as prior year returns. Roughly 1.6 million returns need error correction or other special handling, and 5.6 million are paper returns that still need to be processed. Lawmakers have repeatedly probed IRS officials as to the status of the backlog, which the agency hopes to have addressed by the end of this year, as National Taxpayer Advocate Erin M. Collins said in her mid-year report to Congress. The IRS has said it is aiming to crush the backlogged inventory this year, and I hope it succeeds, Collins wrote. Unfortunately, at this point, the backlog is still crushing the IRS, its employees, and most importantly, taxpayers. Our next article, also from Money.com, how to find holiday flights deals even as price tickets spike. Planning to go home for the holidays? That may be more expensive than usual this year, as airfare climbs sky high. A forecast released this week by travel booking app Hopper estimates prices for plane tickets are likely to reach their highest point in 5 years around Christmas and Thanksgiving, thanks to variables like fuel cost, increased demand, and reduced airline capacity. Travelers hoping to book flights for Thanksgiving can anticipate an average domestic ticket price of $350. Prices are up 43% from last year. Late November international flights, meanwhile, are increasing 41% from 2021, averaging close to $800 a ticket. For Christmas, it's beginning to look a lot like a splurge. According to current estimates, travelers can expect to splash out an average of $463 for domestic tickets. Ticket prices are 39% higher than last year. International airfare will cost consumers a whopping $1,300 per ticket. After a rough couple of years due to the COVID-19 pandemic, travel is finally bouncing back in a major way. Holiday flight prices are currently down from their peaks in August, which is typical as summer travel demands wind down. It's normal for ticket costs to increase during vacation seasons and holiday demand, but a sharper than usual seasonal decline from this summer's airline chaos means right now is the best time to book. Over 50% of Americans told us they plan to travel this holiday season, and 70% said they plan to see friends and family, says Andrew Heritage, a senior economist at Hopper. People feel comfortable going places again, so there is an extremely high demand for travel, similar to what we saw over the summer. But don't expect to find fares for dirt cheap prices either. Heritage says airfares are still historically high due to the same staffing and capacity issues airlines have struggled with all year, not to mention the cost of jet fuel. Hopper advises monitoring travel prices between now and October the 20th, when pre-holiday prices spike, usually strike. Travel advice site The Vacationer also recommends booking as early as possible when it comes to major holidays, even months in advance, if possible, depending on where you're going. International flights tend to be cheaper closer to the opening of the booking window. Domestic flights are more expensive when released and then tend to drop in price after a few months. The Vacationer said in its Thanksgiving and Christmas 2022 travel guide. For that reason, you should aim to book international flights earlier than domestic, and that is especially true for the holidays. Hopper says travelers often use the shorter Thanksgiving work week to take a longer international trip, flying out the day before Thanksgiving, which this year falls on November the 24th, can save you an average of $100 on peak airfare. Return flights are on average $162 cheaper if you come back the following Monday rather than right after the holiday. The most expensive days to fly fall from December 22nd through the 24th, with prices averaging over $500 per domestic ticket. If you're looking to save money, Hopper's data suggests you try departing the Monday before Christmas, December 19th. Flights are generally about $120 less costly that day. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen to us next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.